Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Day with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Well, always Danny Kelly joins us. He's normally here to reflect on the Premier League weekend. But, of course, we had internationals to discuss. And Antonio Conte sacking Tottenham,
well,
fellow,
that's right, yeah.
Tottenham fan. And Andy weighed on his thoughts because he obviously knew Conte from his Chelsea days. So, pretty deepish dive into Conte and Spurs. Also, we had a bit of a chat, didn't we, as always?
We did, yeah.
And we dusted off some more clips of the week pewter, this time from 2003, featuring a very youthful Alan Brazil.
An old favourite we haven't heard for ages.
That's right. So I hope you enjoy. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon, Paul. Good afternoon, everybody. And I had to watch the England match on delay yesterday because it was the annual event, the boat race that passes right by basically our 50 yards from our front door.
Oh, so, okay.
So you always want to go down there and watch it. It is Britain's worst spectator sport. It's absolutely
really?
Terrible. But it was quite an exciting race yesterday. It was only a length in it, so it was quite good. But
Who are you rooting for, Andy?
Well,
do you have a half and half scarf?
I put a video on Instagram where I'm going, come on, Cambridge and Oxford.
Oh, okay. Well, that's very good of you.
I know. I thought I was quite.
Cambridge
new.
Won, didn't they?
They did.
They did the double, men's and women's.
So the thing was, as I walked along the riverside, the bankside, there was a cameraman, a BBC cameraman.
Oh yeah.
And I thought, I was really tempted. I said to the wife, I think I'll go back. Get my old poster, listen to Hawksby and Jacobs on TalkSport, put it on the end of a broom handle, and when the boats come out, I'll just dangle it in front of me.
Do you have a poster with that written on it, always to hand, in case you spot a BBC camera?
In case I spot a camera, an opportunity.
Right.
Because it didn't get me into trouble last time I did.
No, it got you actually thrown out a BBC centre, but that's another story for another day. Some sports, though, you make a good point. Britain's, you're saying it's the world's worst spectator sport.
Well, it's not great.
Rowing. Not if you're on the line.
It's not even as good as the Tour de France, where at least 100 blokes go past you, and that's all you see. But this is just two boats go past you. You can see them coming towards you.
What more do you want? It's a boat race, Andy, between two teams.
Well, and they don't charge to get in. Although I said to Sue, we could stand here by the entrance to the river, the bankside thing, and we could charge people. Could make out
like a scam.
There's a fee, yeah.
Okay. Set up a turnstile there.
I thought so.
Oh, dear, that sounds very nice. So, some sports, it's like we've talked before about American football. When you go, you watch it in the flesh.
Yeah.
Unless you can follow the plays, it's very hard to follow, isn't it?
No, that's true. And the boat race is better on telly, that's for sure.
And I found that with ice hockey a couple of times when I've gone.
Oh, yeah,
it's quite hard to follow the puck, isn't it, really? Unless they have a tear-up, there's really not much going on.
Hard.
So, if you've been similarly surprised when you've taken in a sport in the flesh for the first time, then you can share that with the class. TalkSport.com/H&J. Text to 81089 or tweet to TSH&J. Well, one of the best results over the weekend, let's be honest, if you were listening to the Fools panel on Friday, none of us saw it coming, was that brilliant point that Wales gave.
Yeah, that was a great result,
against Croatia at the weekend. Well done to Nathan Broadhead of Ipswich, making his debut. He scored the goal. And until now, you may have only known Nathan from something else.
What was that?
He was his claim to fame was winning the NFL's Keepy Uppy Challenge in 2016.
But with an American football?
Yeah. He was at Everton, and he did Keepy Uppies with an American football. And guess how many he did? Would you say would be a good score with American football?
Well, it's difficult. If you get it at the point, it's impossible. I don't know, 100?
Have another guess. Lower.
Lower.
Yeah.
53.
Higher.
74.
No, it was 62. I mean, it wasn't the most exciting, but he did 62.
What a marvellous game.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's play your cards right. It's like at night, look, it hasn't worked before.
One time we played Have Another Guess. It went on for about 10
Have Another
minutes.
Guess, the fantastic game. Yeah, yeah. It can be for hours because it just involves Andy guessing and me saying, have another guess. So that was his claim to fame. So he can shake that off. No longer is he the bloke who did 62 keep the uppies with an American football. He is now the man what scored the equaliser against Croatia away.
A better claim to fame.
I'd say it certainly is. There is a joke about someone called Joe. I can't say what they call him in this joke, but he shook off a tag in a slightly different fashion, of course, from Nathan. But we're just like, have you ever sort of, you were known as the bloke that or the person that or the woman that, and then suddenly you managed to shake it off. You did something afterwards and they never said, oh, you mean John who, yes, you had a new one. Let us know if you managed to shake off a tag.
John from the National Obsession.
John, it could be, yeah. That's right. That's what he's known as now. Talksport.com/H&J and text to 81089 and you can tweet to TSHNJ. Gareth Bale, obviously, was what he, I don't think I don't think he was watching live. He was at a Maroon 5 gig.
Yeah.
That's what he's getting up to.
I don't
he
get
could
it.
Do anything he liked with his life and he went and saw Maroon 5.
Well,
that there's anything wrong with
it. I don't even know who they are, to be really honest.
Do you want to hear some of their stuff?
Well, I could do, yeah.
Okay, I'm sure John can. Maybe we'll go in and out of today's breaks.
I might know their music, but I certainly wouldn't go to
maybe we can play a game. Andy Jacobs, no, I don't know that one. So we'll play basically a few hits of Maroon 5 today out of the breaks and see if you've ever heard them before.
He's still only 33.
They're a big band.
Yeah, no, I've heard of the name. Yeah. Still only 33, though. It's a very strange decision to retire. He's a long time retired.
He played for a long time and he was getting lots of injuries.
Yes, but, you know.
And there's a lot of golf courses around the world. It's a lot of Maroon 5 gigs to take
in. Well, you know, he's certainly in a comfortable position. Good for him.
Thank you very much
now,
for that.
Did you see this? Elton John got fit for the final leg of his farewell tour by walking 6 miles a week in his swimming pool sideways.
I think they're saying his swimming trunk. Thought he was like Speedo Elton.
No, in his swimming pool, but sideways. What's he doing? Training to be a linesman?
Yeah.
That's very strange.
That's very good.
Why is he doing that?
A bit of a shot, wouldn't it? You go around Elton's house.
I mean, there's a lot of resistance. I can see the point of walking in a pool, but sideways is quite weird, really.
Well, I mean, most of the work he does is sitting down, though, isn't it? A piano, so, but it obviously takes it out of you at his age.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
You know this one?
Oh, yeah.
It's the biggest hit, I'd say.
It's good, isn't it?
Gareth Bale was watching, rather than watching Wales, he was watching Maroon 5. But he caught up with Wales, obviously. So we'll play some other of their fine works for you, Andy, and you can tell us, no, I've never heard that one. But at least you've heard one of these.
I've heard that one, yeah.
Marvellous. Anyway, there I was, about 20 past 10 last night. I thought, I'll have a quick look at social media, a quick look at Twitter before I go to bed. And club announcement. Thing. Really? 20 past 10 on a Sunday night, Daniel? Really?
The timing.
And so what do? I immediately switch on TalkSport and Danny Kelly and Andy Brassel are there doing Trans-Europe Express.
Yes, I heard them talking about it.
There is a bit of an understandable gear change and, you know, it's a kind of international European story. Anyway, it was a good listen and Danny joins us now. Hello, Danny.
Well, thank you for that, Paul. Yeah, about 20 past 10, we were getting into our usual groove about, is this boy from Lokomotiv Zvezdnyak good enough for Bulgaria's back four? And then suddenly, bang, there it is. But the statement, I mean, I'm going to cut straight to the chase. The first part of the statement, Antonio Conte, mutual agreement, all that, very, very good for the club. Very, very good for my mental health because I can't stand another week of this and him. Very, very good for him as well. He clearly hated being there.
Mm.
The second half of the statement, that Christian Stellini was going to stay and run the club for the next 10 games. I mean, we're all highly paid, really fantastically well paid pundits. And I know 30, 40, 50 of them, not one person, not one suggested that Stellini would be the interim manager. Mm. Not one. So, this to me looks like, from Daniel Levy, an Elon Musk move. So far left field that you think, maybe he knows something I don't know. But of course, it's much more likely that just like what Musk has done with Twitter, it's going to turn out to be a complete mugs game. I just don't get it. Do you get Paul, I'll appeal to you. You're an intelligent man of sports, Spurs. Stellini, we were told when he was managing the club a few weeks ago that, in fact, he was just a sock puppet and that Antonio Conte was pulling all the strings.
Yes, I've got no idea what kind of... Maybe he's just this very open, expansive, total football-like coach who's just been kind of hiding under the under the invisible cloak of Antonio Conte, desperate to play a more expansive game. Although last
year... Come on,
year,
boss, let's get the ball forward. Come on.
It. Boys, at last, he's gone. We can do what we like. But last year, when Conte was getting a bit of stick for the style of play, and Stellini did a press conference, he was very defensive of the style of play, much like the style of play. And look, I don't know. I was completely out of left field. I was surprised.
But Daniel Levy is a smart fellow. He must be. And yet, cut forward to this Thursday in the press conference. First question. So, Christian, do you believe everything that your best mate said about the club 10 days ago? And it's going to be impossible because he's going to either have to stitch up his the person he's worked with for the last 7 or 8 years, or he's going to have to say the same things as Conte said, and he'll be on his bike as well.
Or he'll say, I can't comment on that at this point. I'm here just to...
Well, sorry, hopefully my colleagues in the press will say, well, sorry, that's not good enough.
Yeah, he still will bat it away. What can he say? It's one of those questions. What do you want him to say?
Why be put in that position? Why put yourself in that? I mean, the only thing I thought is that we're going to talk to Tancredi Palmieri about this in Italy later on. Has he been damaged by this? Is this a bit of self-preservation? When they said, would you like to stick around? He's thinking... Well, Antonio's knackered for a while now. He's not going to be walking into another plum job. He might not need me anymore. Maybe I'll go my own way. Maybe I can prove myself. I mean, apparently he has been quite popular with the players, but that's because it's good.
He seemed to do all right.
That's a classic good cop, bad cop. Now the bad cop's gone. It might be slightly different. I don't know.
I mean, look, I hope... Of course I do. I want to see the world as a good place and the glass is half full. I hope that he and Ryan Mason get a tune out of what is essentially a pretty talented bunch of players. You only have to think back to the end of last season when they were whacking teams 3 and 4 every week. Now, of course, coaches have had time to assess what Spurs were doing and to counteract it. Of course they do. And that's the thing I'll be looking for more than anything else. I mean, you know, forget about the connection with the fans for now. That'll come with the new manager, whoever that is. But just a bit of tactical flexibility, maybe. And you know, if something's not going right in a game, maybe change it and not bring on Davinson Sanchez to double down on what you're trying to do. Mm. With all due respect to the Colombian centre-half, of course.
I think Betancourt's injury was very costly.
Yeah,
to Spurs.
No, it is. And the fact that's not the depth in that position. Basuma. No. There's probably a few players thinking, OK, if I was fit, things could be slightly different for me, or not on loan
Jed
in the case
Spence
of
will
Jed
be pleased.
Spence. But, I mean, with what they've got left, fourth, I mean, it doesn't matter who's in charge. You know, they could have got Pochettino back or brought anybody in, but fourth with the players they have left is still going to be hard going, I think.
It's a tall order, but it was the same situation this time last year. I guess there's more. I mean, last time it seemed always to be just Spurs and Arsenal. This time I think there's much more competition: Newcastle, Liverpool, Brighton, Andy,
Brighton are definitely in there. I don't know. I was listening to all these Spurs fans moaning. I was thinking, blimey, try being mired in 10th place with a manager that's clearly not good enough. That'll be good.
Well, Andy, I would say to you about that, you can take some optimism for the fact this is usually the position from which Chelsea win the Champions League.
Yeah.
Well, it's, that's not going to be easy, is it? Let's be honest.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I think we said we were all
delighted.
Come on,
Paul, cheer me up. Think of something positive about it.
I'd like to. I look at the players that the two guys are going to have available. And as you say, I'm slightly surprised that Stellini's stuck around. It feels a bit of a halfway house. Maybe it's certainly cheaper to keep the number two in the job and get your money's worth.
If their contracts are all up by the end of the year, it might have been a financial decision.
They're all staying, all Conte's gang, except for his brother Gianluca, who was in an impossible position, obviously.
You do wonder, though, Danny, this could have been managed so differently. Everything that's gone on for Antonio Conte, which we do have sympathy for, he's been here, always lost great friends, a colleague
absolutely,
as well in... Gianpiero
he looks defeated. I mean, he does.
It could have been managed. He could have managed it in a different way. He could have said, look, you know, I've my head's not right. I don't feel 100%. This doesn't feel right. This is not fair on Tottenham. It's not.
And yeah, it could have been. To remember that Conte's very interested in money.
Yeah, and also it's, you know, he was always going to go out butchering Sundance, wasn't he? That was always the way he was going to leave that job.
Yeah, I don't mind that. That's not the worst ending. But you have to take some responsibility for your part, even if it is, as you say, a butcher and Sundance kind of denouement. And he's right. He does look like he's not been enjoying life. And again, we go through all his personal stuff, and I totally see that for him. But he was never the right fit. And I take into account the good football they played at the latter end of last season. It's never the right fit because he doesn't think it's a big enough club for him to be at. He's wrong, of course, but that's what he's going on in the back of his mind. And he will. I mean, Stellini may have decoupled for whatever reason, but of course his contract's up in a few months. Antonio Conte will get another big club in the summer if he wants one because they're queuing up in Italy, but he won't be anywhere else. It only seems to be in Italy now that this kind of intensity at the expense of almost humanity is accepted among football managers. The most successful managers in our country tend to be ones who know how to, you know, of course you sometimes have to lay the law down, but you've also got to accept that the players are human beings. And in these cases, very successful, often hugely self-motivated, and certainly wealthy enough not to have to listen to you, human beings. And the Klopps and the Guardiolas of this world, I'm sure they have their moments behind the closed doors, but mostly what we see is good relations with the players.
We'll come on to England very shortly, and Ireland got a massive game tonight, Danny. I don't need to tell you that in Dublin, so we'll be chatting about that as well and some of the other big stories for the home nations this weekend. But we will just get Danny's take on who he'd like to see next in charge of Tottenham once this little caretaker role.
But it is amazing with Conte. He's done this before, but very rarely do you issue a come and sack me plea.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Tell me about it, talking, I know you. Kiss me till you're drunk and I'll show you all the moves like Jagger. I've got the moves like Jagger. I've got the moves.
So you're quite a fan of Maroon 5 without even knowing it.
Yeah.
You had no idea. You and Gareth Bale, you'd be going to gigs together, dancing along.
That's right.
Beautiful.
I'll be going. Yeah, they're good, aren't they?
Anyway,
yeah.
We're reflecting on the news around Tottenham, and we'll look at the internationals with Danny Kelly shortly. A couple of things, Danny. I just wonder if the players in the old canteen, they'll be delighted, the word coming out of the camp is that, you know, he was just...
They'll be dancing to Maroon 5.
Yes, they will be. They'll be moving
that's
like Jagger.
That's why I think they'll finish top four, because they're a good team. They're a good squad. They've got Harry Kane, who's absolutely...
They're a good squad,
brilliant.
But they're all fit, but they've got key players out. Yeah. But anyway,
and they're also not playing till next Monday, which I think might help them.
Everton away, though, has become a tougher proposition under Chorndyce. But I was going to say, Danny, I wonder if any of those players are sitting there in the canteen today, ones and thinking, well, we've seen off another serial winner and we still haven't won anything. I wonder if there's any navel-gazing, any soul-searching. Because, I mean...
Well, they always say there is. And then footballers always do that when the manager leaves. They, you know, oh, we're really sorry he's gone. We should have tried a bit harder.
They're not rushing to say that this time, are they?
This is another part of the strange decision that Daniel Levy has come up with. In that, you know, if they do hold a party to celebrate the departure of Antonio Conte, they'll be doing it in front of Christian Stellini. He'll have the phone going, look at this, Antonio. Look at these serial losers. Look at them. It's a really odd situation where Stellini is Antonio Conte's spy in the cab up to now.
Yeah.
Now he's gonna his first speech when he meets them all and says, right, that's over.
Yeah.
I'm separate. We need to move on. That's going to have to be his very best performance of his managerial and coaching career so far. Otherwise, it has all the makings of a mess. Shall we put it no stronger than that?
Well, another mess. Another fine mess.
We'll see.
Who next, Danny? There's a bunch of runners and riders. The Nagelsmann things made it more interesting, but you know he won't be wanting for job offers, I wouldn't think, in the summer. A whole bunch of names have been coming
Maybe
up.
Maybe that's why they sounded out Nagelsmann. He said, look, I need time off. I'm interested in the summer. Then you would get a Stellini
maybe,
or somebody.
But also, if you want to try and poach somebody else's manager, you're going to need time to do that. I mean, it does tend to point to the fact that Maurizio Pochettino isn't in the frame because that's an appointment they could have made now.
Again, though, he may for whatever reason. I mean, I'm speculating now, aren't we? I've said I will come, but I need to do it. I need to come with a fresh start in the summer, whatever European competition you're in,
strange.
And all the rest of it.
Yeah, that would be
but
quite
it does
strange.
Seem likely that they looks like they're heading in another direction. Paul, all managerial appointments All of them, no matter who you get, are, to a lesser or greater extent, a gamble. Mm. So I don't know the answer. I'd want somebody who's in an upward curve in his career, rather than Antonio Conte and Jose Mourinho, who, whatever else you say about it, managers have about 10 years when they're absolutely at their peak. And I would argue both of those are just on the far side of the hill. And maybe raging a little bit against the dying of the light. I want someone who's on an upward curve, somebody who will restore the feeling of the people who pay 90 quid a pop to watch the team, that they're not mugs wasting their time, yeah. Which is what Antonio Conte sought to paint the Spurs supporters as. And thirdly, I want, and this goes for every football manager, they lose control of the narrative only when the players cross the line out the dressing room onto the pitch. I don't know what goes on in the training grounds. I don't see them in training. I get all that. But the evidence of my own eyes, I won't have it denied to me at press conferences by a self-serving manager. You know, that's the moment when we, the fans, take control of the narrative, because we can see what the team is doing.
Mm.
And no amount of, oh, well, you know, that was a great performance, when you've clearly seen a load of rubbish. I'm sick of that, and I want it to stop.
Yeah, not mugs, amazing loyal fans, I think you'll find the chairman. That's how he views us, yeah. which is lovely to hear.
You must be gratified with that, Paul.
Yeah. Honestly, it gave me a lump in my throat.
Is it renewal time for the season tickets,
yeah,
Paul?
Yeah, that's right. Amazing. let's test the loyalty of those fans when you put 10-15% on the tickets. So, yes, just very quickly. So
Ruben Amorim, someone like that.
Yeah, okay, well, that's an interesting call. So, I was just flanked at the latrines by Tony Cascarino. In fact, we got talking. Oh. We were in there for about 10 minutes afterwards.
Wow.
Not at, I mean, we'd moved away by then.
I see, okay.
But sometimes...
they about, extended but, hand washing.
About 6 or 7 minutes in, you're aware of the fact you are having this conversation in a toilet.
Yeah.
But he is still very keen. He said it with Natalie on the weekend breakfast. He thinks Vincent Kompany would be a great appointment. He thinks he would be a man who has won recently with a winning mentality, although we could say that about Conte and Jose.
Yeah, but I think it would be a big risk.
There is an element of risk to it, but it's a project manager, a young manager. It's a different, it's Arteta-like, isn't it, really?
Yeah, would they have the patience? Because if you appoint him, then you've got to give him at least a year. You've got to, because, you know, he's not used to it and he's got to win the team over. I think that would be a big risk.
They're all big risks. He's done great work so far. And, you know, he knows the Premier League up and down. That helps as well. Look, this is something... He would be on the right side of the line of not just appointing somebody because you think in your mind, because you built a big stadium and all the rest of it, you have somehow only got to put in one serial winner and suddenly you'll transform everything.
Yeah.
I don't believe in this thing of winning mentality. You have winning habits. You have winning ways of operating. If it's down to mentality... I could convince myself that I'm absolutely brilliant football manager and off I go, but it wouldn't work because it's a made-up thing. It's a made-up thing. And having a winning mentality in countries where you've got one or two clubs to compete against compared to the Premier League, where, to give you an example, a team that's currently in the bottom three is favourites for the Conference League in Europe. You know, you're not messing around here. You've got a lot of opposition. Every game is difficult and, the idea that just having a winning mentality is going to get you across the line away at Everton is nonsense. You've got to play.
I also wonder if any prospective managers, they get seduced by the real estate. They do the tour, the training ground, the ground. They think, wow, this is the club going places. Then they hand in their list of the 5 centre-halves they'd like, and the fifth one is Clement Longley on loan, and that's who you get.
Yeah.
And you think, oh, actually... it's a bit mediocre after all. You know, I worry now that other managers, and apparently there's been a few reports of this, you know, people prospectively, they could approach are thinking, well, it's happened to Conte, it's happened to Jose, you know, ultimately, this is a bigger problem than that. So
Have you read this piece, which features quotes from Professor Simon Chadwick, who's the...
It's in the Times today.
Yeah, in the Times. He's a professor of sport and geopolitical economy at Schema Business School, and he worked...
Does he fancy the job?
No,
it's a different approach.
He doesn't. He said there's a fundamental misalignment between what people think the club should be doing and what they are doing. And there's a sort of schism between the people who treat it as a business and the people who treat it as a football club.
Do you see the football club as the business, or do you look at the business and the football club as different entities? That's what I tend to do, Danny. I don't know about you. The idea that one feeds into the other, I'm not sure.
I think you're doing that, Paul, for the sake of your sanity, if you don't mind me saying. Otherwise, you'll go round a twist. Do people still go round the twist, or has that been discredited?
I'm not sure.
No.
You know, we're not joking about mental health, but you know what I mean.
Yes.
We have to do this because clearly are those of us who devour the club for entertainment and fun have a completely different view of other people who own it. I get that. But they can't. The problem is for Daniel Levy and Joe Lewis and the others is that in the, at the end of the day, they will be judged by their customers. By what I'm allowing myself to be a customer now, no, it's not even a legacy fan. By what goes on that piece of grass. The problem is they will be judging it by how well it's doing in terms of finance and all the rest of it. And when they see football clubs going for £5 billion, they'll think we're doing very, very well indeed, because we've got a club that is in the same conversation as some of those clubs if we were to try and sell it. It's just unfortunate that their PR at the moment. I mean, Spurs were third before the penalty at Southampton. They were third in the table. Most fans listening to us talk now, Paul, would say, you two need to shut up.
Yeah.
You've got a really good club and a decent team.
And a great stadium. I absolutely see, you know.
The thing is, though, Danny, I think the philosophy is the
philosophy. Shut up, Andy.
I think the philosophy is the philosophy at the club. And I think Beyonce could do a residency at our stadium for 10 years every Sunday and we'd still have the highest wage bill. I think there is a way of running that club that they have that will never change.
And that's the crux, isn't it? That when Spurs are the 11th or 10th richest club in the world, when you see that and you wonder then, and you know, I've been largely tolerant of and occasionally pro Daniel Levy because I remember what it was like before he came.
Mm.
But the question now is, why, if you're one of the richest clubs in the world, are you not paying top dollar to and for your footballers?
And there's the Kane factor, because whoever they appoint,
yeah,
if Harry doesn't fancy them, if he doesn't think that they can, you know, that he's the one that they can see progress.
How many more times can he do that? How many more times can he look at a manager and think, yeah, this is the one?
I think it's this summer. I think he either stays at Spurs forever or he goes this summer.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Yes, Andy, or no?
No, don't know this one.
No. Okay, this is a new game. Don't know this one. The Andy Jacobs Maroon 5 years. anyway, Danny Kelly is with us. We're looking at an empty lectern at Murrayfield at the moment because the SNP leader is about to be announced. I've got half a feeling it might be Conte.
Tremendous.
He's suddenly there at the lectern.
This country is no good.
That's it. This is Scotland. 20 years. He'll be doing all that stuff. Anyway, it won't be him. Let's move on to England. What did we learn, if anything, from a very comfortable victory over the Ukraine yesterday?
I mean, I stand to be corrected about this in the long run. We learned that England are a really, really good football team.
Mm.
England are, in my opinion, along with France, the best team in Europe. Look at the players they can bring to the front of the pitch. Declan Rice and Jude Bellingham and Harry Kane and Bukayo Saka and any number of combinations of wide players of the Fodens and Grealishes and James Maddison. They have got the tools to beat any team. They've got to keep the ball away from their central defenders a little bit more. And, you know, they should have been champions of Europe. They should have beaten France in the World Cup. They're the better team in that game. And this is, without coming Belgium on it, this is a group of players who should be putting these teams away. And, of course, the win in Italy, massively important for psychologically. They haven't beaten some of these big teams away from home. And that was the definition of comfortable in the first half. They ripped them apart. Mm. And Ukraine are extremely good in qualifying tournaments. I think they've lost two of their last 20 games in qualifying tournaments, and England kept, I mean, they didn't lay a glove on them, did they?
No,
not really, no.
And they're really good, England, and all you can say is, I personally speaking, would like once in a, when you get to these crux moments, for Gareth to be a little bit more adventurous, to believe that you know, the trick is to knock the other team out rather than to keep them at arm's length.
I didn't agree. Sorry, Danny. I didn't agree with his view on Ivan Toney. I would have given him a bit longer than the 10 minutes he gave him. I heard what you're saying about, you know, the game wasn't done.
I'm saying mitigation.
But would it matter? You know, he's capable of scoring a goal, Ivan Toney.
It's 2-0. And after what happened with Italy the other day, I think the minute they get the third, Toney comes on. And I think Gareth Southgate was desperate for that third so he could change it up. But all the time it's 2-0. And it takes 2-1. Mm. And then look at the optics. Are taking off your most, you know, your record goal scorer of all time when the game's not done. So I kind of have some sympathy for that.
Yeah, this is we've all enjoyed the I think the Nations League and all the rest of it, but it has meant that there's virtually no friendlies. They're all competitive games. Mm. They all matter, and therefore, if you have a player in, you know, there's two positions on the pitch, isn't there? There's goalkeeper now and striker. Since we don't play two, there's only one striker, where it's very hard to experiment because you don't get the moments or the games, you know, friendly, is to do it. And I take your point, Andy. Ivan Toney, you know, only take, God forbid, Harry twist his ankle, which he hasn't done for nearly 4 years now, by the way. Let's get that
He
right.
wouldn't let England down. He just wouldn't.
And so I agree with Paul. The circumstances there were such that I think it's a competitive match. You can't be taking chances, you know.
Jason Burt made a very good point today. When you look at it, the 4-3-3, if you stick with that, two of those positions are nailed on, Saka and Kane. And he makes the point that you've now got Sterling, Rashford, Foden, effectively, Grealish and Madison, and possibly Mount, all fighting for one place.
And that's what I'm talking about. Look, there's no point in having and saying, oh, we've got a load of competition for places if those players are all equally mediocre. The point about England currently is they're all equally good. They're really good players playing at a very high level, week in, week out. Mason Mount been in and out of the Chelsea team recently, but then who hasn't, Andy? Before you say it, who hasn't been rotated in and out of the team? It's an incredible group of players to be choosing from. His biggest problem is going to be getting the right combination. At the moment, you'd want to see Rashford bearing down from the left-hand side with Saka doing his amazing stuff on the right and Kane, you know, doing what he does. He's got a lot of choices. And the other choice will be the third midfield player. He went for a kind of muscular combination against Ukraine. Mm. And it may be that he could it's a question of whether you want to be you have to trade Jude Bellingham could play defensive midfield. He's done it the previous season, not this season, but the previous season at Dortmund. But then you lose what he brings you going forward.
Yeah, a bit of a waste.
And then it's a question of whether who do you put next to Declan Rice? But these are great problems to have if you're an international manager. There are a lot of other managers out there who'd be going, I tell you what, most would say I'd take England's bench.
I find surprising about Southgate last week, talking about the lack of depth, the lack of choice he's got. You think, blimey, I think you've got some good players to choose from. Only at centre-half can you say they are a bit limited, but everywhere else on the pitch, he's got choices, he's got options.
And again, I'll make the point that the academies and the clubs in the Premier League, where he might have had more choice 20 years ago, for 10 years ago even, but there would have been a choice between muchness standard of players. What he's getting now is some really, really elite footballers from which to choose his 11. I think he's done a very good job at Gareth Southgate, but man, has he been in the job at the right time.
You could tell by the sound of the Mexican wave. There's always a sign the crowd have lost interest. Yeah. You could hear it in the background.
It was a non-contest, really, at 2-0, wasn't it? It was a pretty tough watch second half, but a professional job. We used to laud teams that did things like that, so we can't have our cake and eat
it. The Ukrainian player Sudakov, I always take that one, I'm a bit chesty.
I'm sure you do, Andy. You got to the stage in the game where you were doing that, and the Matt Bianco material, of course, which we always do whenever they play.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
And he was telling us at the end of his road, the boat race goes past. Yeah. So obviously he feels like you've got live sport with basically 20 yards from you as you go along and have a look.
Yeah.
But you're not enamoured with it as a spectator sport,
well,
are you?
I'm not. And also the fact that, I mean, Noam Mueli was rowing for Cambridge. He was the first ever black competitor to take part in the boat race in 194 years. Wow. It's a very posh, very middle class sport, and no question about it.
You don't say.
Yeah,
well, I didn't see it. I saw Alan Tyers wrote a fine piece in the Telegraph today, reviewing it as a TV event, and said there were a couple of features that they did on TV about it becoming a little bit more accessible.
Well, that was the kind of deliberate thing. Yeah, that was the deliberate thing by the BBC. They showed sort of outreach programs where kids from inner city schools can go rowing, which is a good thing, of course it is. And they managed to find an expert who said, well, I thought it was going to be a good race. And you're thinking, what have you got to do with the boat race, for goodness sake?
Buller. They got Ricky on to do it, did they? Fantastic.
Marvelous. You seem to be an expert. You must be. But yeah, there you go.
So we asked you whether, off the back of that, Andy's not enamoured of it, with it as a spectator sport. Have you, you know, have you kind of watched it on TV and thought, well, yeah, I like that, I'll go and watch it? That's what happened to Tom in Thrapston in Northants. He said, I'm 38. I've watched Formula One for most of my life. Finally, I was lucky enough to get to the 2009 British Grand Prix, but found it so boring, I just got drunk. Well, there we are.
He didn't have a long way to go if he lives in North
Hampton. No, that's true. Right. You could probably hear it from his garden. This is good. I did mention earlier on, off the back of that, Nathan Broadhead. He is now known as the man who equalised at the death against Croatia for Wales. He used to be known as the man that did 62 keepy-uppies with an American football for a keepy-uppy challenge for the NFL. He has shaken off that tag. A very good one from Rob in West Yorkshire. Last cricket season, I got out in the 90s in each of the first four games and became known as Rob, who can't score a ton. The next four games, I got out for naught in each game, and I was then known as Rob, who can't score a run. Very good, Rob. Thank you for that. So if you've shaken off a tag, we would, I don't mean an electronic one, because that's illegal. Talksport.com, text 81089, tweet TSHNJ. More on greyhound racing as handicaps. Steve in Mansfield. We've established it is it's staggered like a 400 metres race in the Olympics. Yeah, greyhound handicap race. The fastest dog is always in trap six, Andy, which then gives a number of length start to the five dogs in front.
I think I know what a handicap is. I can work that out.
But he then points out, Steve, in theory, they should all finish the race together, but never do.
No.
It would always be a draw.
Yeah, he's got a point in that particular point. A good one from Reader's Trousers today.
This is a special offer.
Very special offer. Yeah. We've designed our new Ultimate Comfort Trousers following requests from our customers for a more formal version.
I've been writing to him non-stop. I want a more comfortable trouser.
Yeah, I know, casual tracksuit bottom styles. The
superstar elasticated waist, is it?
Yeah, it is. Wow. The superstar is perfect for everyday trips to the shops, restaurants and pubs when you need to show the world a smarter you. When does that happen, when you go in a pub? Yeah. I want people to think I'm much smarter.
You're waving the white flag when you're in an elasticated waist, I think, aren't you?
Straight legs style with two side and one back pocket, always useful. Belt loops in black, navy or grey to team with your favourite jacket, shirt or knitwear. That's good.
Belt loops and an elasticated waist.
I was thinking of going topless.
Oh, well, really? It's always a good look, Andy.
Thanks very much.
In the pub at night.
And Ian Owen's written to the Sun. I like this. He says,
who's Ian Owen?
He's just a bloke from Wallington in Surrey. He wrote to the Sun. Former Bayern Munich boss Julian Nagelsmann is predicted to take over if Antonio Conte leaves Spurs. Bit out of date, this letter now. Why not appoint ex-manager at Maurizio Pochettino, as he was doing a good job before he was sacked in 2019? Well, do you think you're the only person to think that? What's the point of even writing in with
Ian
that?
Ian is an original thinker.
He's not.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. The Talk Sport Clips of the Week.
Well, kind of. They're back. It's the Clips of the Week. Pewter, our producer, has pulled together some clips from 2003. Mm. We have not heard them since. Although one of them is a bit of an old staple, which had got lost, but it has just popped up today. Anyway, without further ado, we should crack on, really. And we kick off, of course. Morning, it's Alan Brazil.
Thanks, Mike. Let's say a very good morning. You might not be aware of this, but...
he nearly did say morning.
He did say morning. He did. Really good morning.
This is the phone-in with its old host, Gary Newbon.
Well, OK, Ralph, Southampton. I asked for a Southampton fan. Not at the game today.
Oh, OK. That's a bit pointless.
What's
a Didn't
point?
See it. Wasn't interested
wasn't
in
on
it.
Telly, but...
See what they
know,
made of it.
I've heard.
Back to Big Alan alongside Mike Parry with the celebrity birthdays.
Right. Now, birthdays today. Happy birthday, Des Walker, footballer 38, and Tina Turner, 63. I
nut
can't
bush,
believe that.
Da-da-da-da, Nutbush, da-da-da-da, Nutbush, City Limits. Remember that?
Slightly different version of Nutbush, City Limits there by Mike Parry.
And sticking with Alan Brazil, Mike Parry and music.
Absolutely. Well, I caught in the mirror this morning, front page, Cat and Alfie's White Wedding.
White Wedding.
Who
I'm
sang that?
Dreaming of a white wedding. Bing Crosby.
Bing Crosby.
Dear me. Staying with Mr. Parry.
The people at Red Letter Days, they're one of these companies who, you know, you want to ski down the Eiger, they'll fix it for you. You want to go in a balloon over Kenya and shoot wildlife, they'll do it for you.
Really?
Dear me. I'm not going with them. I don't know if they're still going as a business, but if they are, I'm sure they would distance themselves from that. And Mike didn't quite understand what you were saying there.
This is a guest talking American politics and the future of the then President George Bush with Alan Brazil.
His popularity is definitely not as high as it was, and if you want to see him re-elected, you may not be a sure thing.
Now I can tell you, Brian Robson is the new Bradford City manager, been appointed, breaking news. Steve, what about Americans?
It's like gear change. Yeah. But you know, when there's breaking news on a sports station, doesn't matter what you're talking about. Staying with Alan in America, here he is again, this time talking sport with Mike Carlson.
It can happen. It's possible. Bob Hayes obviously was the 100-meter Olympic champion in 1964, and he went on to have a great career with the Dallas Cowboys as a wide receiver. There have been several failures, though. It's not something that is, a guarantee by any means.
Yeah. If we go back, to 1964, Bob Hayes, 100-meter gold medalist, he went on to have a great career with the Dallas Cowboys.
Just basically repeating that.
Back. That was actually Grant Vaal.
It was the late Grant Vaal, that's true. Yeah.
You were fooled by the fact you said Mike, it was Mike Parry.
It was Mike Parry, that's right. Yeah.
Back to the music again, and Mr. Brazil talking about a 90s girl group sensation.
In the Spice Girls, Victoria Beckham was Posh Spice, and Emma Burton was Baby Spice. But what was Jerry Holloway known as?
Who was Emma Burton?
Burton and Jerry Holloway. Tremendous.
Do it the Hollyway with Jerry Burton. This is a caller to Keith Arthur on Fisherman's Blues.
There's a lot of money riding on this, Keith.
The no question, pressure, then.
Do fish drink water?
I don't think you've drunk water, mate, for a long time.
That was quite a common thing. In the early Fisherman's Blues, such a lovely guy, Keith. And people would come in, sort of from, you know, it'd be at 5, 6 in the morning, and they've had a big night on it, or they've just come in from a club or whatever. And they'd find out, I ain't been fishing before, but I've been listening to you. And I'm going to go and buy a fishing rod, and Keith, he'd take him from everything he'd got to buy. And then they woke up in the morning, they have absolutely no recollection of phoning. Oh, you were on TalkSport last night, was I? He used to get a lot of that. Do fish drink water?
Tremendous, isn't it?
And finally, it's a clip we often quote, but I've never actually had the audio on for many years. It's Alan Brazil and Mike Parry talking restaurants.
No, I tell you where we went. Went in the old Imperial City near the Bank of England. Downstairs, I've taken you in there. Yes. Brilliant. Great. It's old Ken, whatever his name is. Ken Walk. What's his name?
Ken Walk, is it?
No, it's not. It's not Ken. Hom. Not Ken Walk. That would be a bit root one, but it's Ken Hom.
Nominative determinism.
Although he did do a fine range of woks. For all your supermarkets. But he wasn't Ken Walk.
No, he wasn't.
So there we are. Yes, there's some clips of the week.
It's one of my favourites.
From 2003. We'll try and dust off a few more for you next week. We were asking you about what the tag you've managed to shake off. This is Nathan Broadhead, no longer the young lad, the young Evertonian as he was then, doing 62 keepy uppies with an American football for an NFL promo. He is now the boy that scored the equaliser against Croatia. He is shaken off that NFL tag. Many years ago, I was known as Super Sum for the local Sunday team, says Craig in Chester, after coming on in the second half and scoring four goals in a cup game. I was subbed the week after it changed to, if he doesn't get a start now, he never will, says Craig. So thank you very much for that. And Andy mentioned going to watch the boat race at the end of his road. And we wondered sometimes when you go along and watch something, you're not quite as enamoured as you have been when you've seen it on the telly. Not quite a sport, says Duncan in Doncaster, but I took my kids on a long trek to watch the Olympic torch come running through our village. 20 police cars later, I think I saw it. The kids didn't. What a waste of time.
Oh, dear.
Okay, what can you
do? Yes, I remember those. Dean Gadsby.
What, not from EastEnders?
No.
Okay.
Not the great...
Not Dean Gaffney.
No, Dean Gadsby from Dean Bourne Gadsby. In
the
Lincs.
The great Gadsby, yeah.
The great, not so great Gadsby with this one. Roy Hodgson is back in the Premier League as Crystal Palace manager, age 75. Yeah, I think we know that. Somebody should ask the King to give him a knighthood. He hasn't kept them up yet.
Yeah, okay. Well, so it's dependent on that.
Well, I say it is dependent. Totally on that.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. We go again tomorrow. I'll be here with Charlie Baker. Andy returns on Wednesday. Do hope you can join us from 1 o'clock. If not, the podcast will be available as always at around 4. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.